Between now and 2013, the Earth will experience horrific cataclysms and at an ever-increasing pace. They will be the result of a large object generically referred to as Planet X, and it will soon pass through the core of our solar system. This object was first observed in 1983 by NASA's Infrared Astronomical Satellite, more commonly known as IRAS, and was reported in the September 10, 1984 edition of U.S. News and World Report. Many times the size of Earth, it is very large and dark and dusty, and will not be visible to the naked eye for a few years. When it does, it will appear in the sky like a smaller second sun before it leaves the core of our system. While man-made pollution does aggravate global warming, the inconvenient omission is really dealing with the interaction between the Sun and Planet X. You see, it is the Sun that is the principal engine of global warming. There are simply not enough resources to save everyone. In fact, most will be left to fend for themselves because our governments will have a higher agenda. That being, to ensure the survival of our species. Industrialized governments all across the globe are working feverishly to launch a vast fleet of solar observatories into space. Many of these satellites are already operational, and they will help our governments to sound the alarm in time for us to seek shelter from the deadly radiation of violent solar storms. Eventually, the time will come when those chosen to survive the coming cataclysm by our governments are spirited away into vast networks of subsea and subterranean survival arcs. So who will they be? There are the obvious choices, such as the military and those with political connections. Their primary role will be to help our government ensure its own continuity. A second goal, and equally urgent, will be the survival of our species. That need demands special survival profiles. Obvious survival profiles will be those of physicians and caregivers. To help us rebuild our world after Planet X passes, we'll need a next generation of intelligent, educated professionals and scientists of healthy breeding age. Most of these will not know they've been chosen until they are taken away from their loved ones. There will not be enough room nor resources to keep both them and their parents and grandparents alive. As painful as the separations will be, those who watch their loved ones being taken away will feel a genuine gladness in their hearts. Meanwhile, those chosen will come to feel the weighty burden of a new and profound responsibility. The brave ones will accept it. For those left to fend for ourselves, it will be panic as usual. We'll learn that rigid thinkers become fragile survivors. America's military might will be recalled from overseas posts and retasked to the business of maintaining martial law throughout the nation. There will be no guarantees for those chosen by their governments to survive, as well as for those left to fend for themselves. But there will be those who are prepared. They will plan their routes to safe havens long before the early signs of crisis become undeniable. Then, when the time comes, they will be prepared, and they will know how to act calmly and quickly. As they make their way to safety, they will join with like-minded others and form small survival groups, where service to others is the rule and not the exception. Eventually, Planet X will leave us in peace once again, and the steadfast few who have survived through a philosophy of service to others shall arise from the ruins. They will embrace this new future with humility, compassion, tolerance, and above all, love.
NASA discovered, and were very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is the Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientists of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space And they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to 6 of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly, the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection, because now any astronomer on Earth can get a picture of it. And so the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there is another planet, and it's heading toward the Earth, between the Earth and between the Sun. And it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest control telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X, until I just mentioned they admitted that it is a real planet January 7th, 2002. But they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then. But then, all of a sudden, in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there, and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system, because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. One of the headlines was massive population shrinkage. They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session, or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all. Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us, because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground, and at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly, and it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News in the year 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? Could it be? If 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure, and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise, then wouldn't it be to our advantage to be sealed by the God of the universe for divine protection, to be kept as in secret?
This is how the powers that be that are in the know are dealing with this information. Sometimes it slips out, and then they do their best to try to cover their tracks afterwards.
So where is the government in all of this? Aren't they supposed to protect us? We're the taxpayers. They have a defense department that's supposed to defend us. Why hasn't the government notified us that these terrible times are coming? Well, imagine if you were in their shoes. What would you say to people? We're not going to be able to feed you. We're not going to be able to protect you. Masses of people will die. But please pay your taxes anyway. They don't tell you because they don't have a plan. They also don't want to create panic. Up until the last minute, when they're sure this is going to happen and that nothing can be done, they don't want to be the cause of panic. Bank failures, people failing to go to their jobs, industry grinding to a halt. They feel that at least now things are rolling and the wheels of commerce and the like are continuing. So basically, they just don't know how to tell you. It's terrible news. They have no solution. They don't want to cause panic. So paralysis sets in and nothing is said.
There has been a lot of research with modern astronomers detecting perturbations in the outer planets, as if there's something pulling at the planets that they can't still clearly define what that is. Once they got to Uranus, they were able to detect that there was still a pull on it leading out to Neptune. So once they got to Neptune, they were able to detect that there's still a pull being asserted, and Pluto, being as small as it is, could not account for that anomalous pull. So that led them to believe, doing mathematical calculations, that that pull is being exerted by another planet farther outside of our solar system, which has now been labeled as Planet X.
The hunt for Planet X is nothing new. In fact, scientists thought Pluto was Planet X to explain the gravitational anomalies in our solar system. Many scientists now believe that our solar system, like most solar systems in the universe, is binary, having two suns. Now, the Sumerians tell us that Nibiru takes 3,600 years to complete one orbit. How could it have such a long elliptical orbit? Well, it would explain it if it had to go around two suns to get back into our inner solar system. This would account for its 3,600-year orbit.
Our scientists have recently come aware of what they call extrasolar planets or traveling planets, brown dwarfs that are suns that are too small to really light but kind of smolder and emit their own light. Sometimes they're called wandering planets or wanderers. Most suns are binaries. Our sun is a binary. Our sun's twin never lit. It is a dark, dead sun in a fixed position in space, as our sun is a fixed position in space. This particular large planet, which travels and comes in over only every 3,657 years, is orbiting both the suns, where the rest of the planets in our solar system are orbiting only the one sun. That's why it comes into our solar system only every 3,657 years and is gone for a long time.
The chief scientist of the IRAS satellite actually announced having found this planet December 30th, 1983. It was picked up by six dailies. It made the Washington Post. It's one of those daily newspapers that picked it up. Very quickly thereafter, they wanted to make sure people understood that it was a mistake, that they didn't actually see a planet. More than likely, it was a fog of a distant galaxy or something. So what they intended on finding, they found, then announced, then realized what their announcement meant, and then decided to clamp down and keep their story quiet and would not discuss another planet in their solar system for quite some time.
If NASA did discover, or should I say rediscover, a 10th planet in our solar system, then why would they have the need to cover it up? I mean, this would be the biggest discovery of the century, and yet, if it is covered up, there must be some reason to withhold this information from the public. Planet X, as told to us by the Sumerians, has caused havoc on our planet in the past. As it discusses in the Bible, there's a day of Armageddon, or in the Revelations, that fire will fall from the skies and there'll be all types of calamities of this sort. The Sumerians explained to us that when Nibiru, Planet X, passes through our inner solar system once every 3,600 years, it has gravitational effects on all the planets, one of them being Earth.
Every time Planet X passes, its foci is the Sun, so it's headed towards the Sun. And of course, Planet Earth's orbit is really rather near the Sun. In fact, all the planets in our solar system are affected by the passage. But if Planet X passes a certain million number of miles away from Earth, you can expect a pole shift.
What causes a pole shift? It's very simple if you think of a couple of magnets, and when you played with them as a child and you lined them up end to end, North Pole to South Pole, and they snap together and they just want to line up that way. If you have a couple of planets with a strong magnetized core passing each other in space, the larger one is going to cause the smaller one to move, just as a child, when you put magnets on a table, you found that when you pushed one toward another, you could cause motion, you know, almost like magic. So if the larger planet comes from the south, North Pole to the Earth's South Pole, at first, everything is pretty much lined up. There might be a little tugging and confusion, but as the larger one passes the smaller one being Earth, it will actually grip its south pole and tip it as it passes. So this is what causes pole shifts. The only time you have such a thing happening to a planet is if you have two planets highly magnetized passing in close proximity to each other.
This makes sense. If our little moon, that's only one quarter the size of Earth, has such an impact, gravitational influence on Earth, affecting our tides, affecting earthquakes, imagine what something 23 times the mass of Earth, 4 to 5 times its size, could do to us. There's evidence that in the past, such as the Ice Age and mastodons being frozen instantly with still undigested food in their stomach, all over the Earth, there is evidence that in the past we have had polar shifts or some type of cataclysmic event on Earth, which happens in cycles over time.
If this is in fact true, there would have to be evidence of these passages, ecological evidence, archaeological evidence that shows the calamitous events that transpired during each passage.
Our Earth gives evidence that we have had periodic pole shifts. There is mountain building in and of itself is evidence. These mountains are like pushed together. If you're in an airplane...
United States government, continuity of government, contingency planning. Continuity of government, contingency planning. Is the government's plan... By the way, these types of plans been in effect since Eisenhower was president, at least. Originally during the Cold War, these plans called for continuity of government to continue the federal government after a nuclear attack. What's on the plate right now is not nuclear attack, but earth changes. Continuity of government contingency planning has to be done in 2 months. December 31st, 2009. Now keep in mind, the original plan was to be done by December 31st, 2010. They found out they don't have that much time. The logistics involved in moving tens of thousands of government employees, their spouses, children, household goods, pets, is a breathtaking logistical nightmare. To move it closer to us, I should say, in time by one full calendar year was a monumental job to undertake, and they undertook it, and I think for the most part they're done.
I'd like to mention, John, since many scientists are expecting solar scorching to be occurring very soon, this is going to be a catastrophic event. Many people will die from it because the temperatures will get very intense and the radiation will be damaging also. I'd like to pose a question to your audience that they start thinking about ways that we can shield ourselves from this, what we expect to be solar scorching. Even if it doesn't get real bad, we have to prepare for it just as you would prepare for any emergency, even though you're not sure it's going to occur. I was thinking about the idea of, well, we can dig. I mean, that's what the power elite are doing right now. They've got underground cities and, you know, abandoned silos, and they've also got deep underground tunnels, very complex labyrinthian cities that they have planned a long time ago, because they know that the solar scorching is coming.
Right.
And they know that this is their only way to survive, and they want to leave us up here. To eliminate us, to really wipe out most of the population.
What you're saying is true. It's only been about 15 months ago that I figured out the solar scorching part of it. The underground cities and bases didn't make any sense until I figured that part out.
That's right. Same thing happened with me. I was saying to myself, why would they go underground if they want to escape earthquakes? That's the worst place to be.
Absolutely.
But now I realize they have no choice. Either you go underground or you get scorched to death. People could dig individually in their yards, you know, like dig some kind of a shallow shelter, and then have something like a structure, a dome-shaped structure that would, domes are wind-resistant, because we expect very high winds, damaging winds, and a dome-shaped structure is your best defense. You can recover if the blasting stops, but we expect it just to get worse and worse. For example, if you see ghosts, I would advise everyone to get the movie Knowing, to rent that movie Knowing. I think the producers of that movie are trying to warn the people that there is going to be intense solar scorching. I mean, it's going to set cities on fire, and it's just going to get worse. And then, of course, considering trying to recover and grow after the scorching, well, there'll be earthquakes, there'll be tsunamis, there'll be windstorms that are so intense that'll destroy everything you try to plan.
It isn't possible after this pole shift for there to be any governments anywhere. In a sense, that's a problem, because if you're in a city, that means there's no law and order either. But there's going to come a day when it stands far enough from the sun that every single person on the earth is going to look up at some point at the sun and go, oh my God, what is that? And when that day happens, that it will mark 7.3 weeks from pole shift. So that's the important thing, is because at that point around the world, nobody's going to show up for work and the chaos is going to begin. You're going to have pilots are not going to fly planes. Policemen aren't going to go to their job because all these rumors have come out about what's going to be happening. People are going to take their families and run for the hills, and that's where they have to be, is up high. You don't realize this. When the earth spins, all the water accumulates at the equator. I mean, now that I say that, you see that it's logical. But when the earth stops spinning, the oceans are going to go back towards the poles. The earth will be just sitting there with the crust not turning. The core will still be turning, but the crust will not. And when it starts again, when the crust grabs the core, there's going to be a lurch. And that lurch is going to create not a tidal wave like in the movie 2012, but a tidal surge. And it's going to be 600 feet high worldwide. So what that means, it's going to be like a tide that comes in and it just doesn't stop coming in. It's just going to keep coming in. There are only two places in the world that are going to go higher in elevation when the crust separates from the core, and that's New Zealand and Maine. And Maine is going to pop up 450 feet, and New Zealand is going to pop up about 500 feet. If you have a 600-foot tidal wave and you're in Maine, and Maine pops up 450 feet, that means that, and I said wave, but I meant surge, tidal surge is going to be at the 150-foot sea level. But Florida is going to sink 150 feet. So now you have a 600-foot tidal surge, but Florida is 150 feet lower. The tidal surge in Florida is going to be 750 feet. Well, that sweeps right over Florida. This is a terrible crime against humanity, because NASA knew about this 50 years ago. And a lot of people say, well, you know, if I think positive thoughts, can I stop Planet X from affecting pole shift? And the truth is, no. This is a natural event. It's just like if everybody on Earth had positive thoughts about the sun setting an hour later, would it set an hour later? No, you're talking about a planet and a star. So you don't change these things with your thoughts. You may change a lot of things, and I definitely believe that we materialize our reality continuously in our own lives.
Well, actually, a few months ago, it was about 4 months ago, our U.S. government, NASA, it's in the Chandra X-ray Observatory Satellite, Chandra, spelled C-H-A-N-D-R-A, X-ray Observatory Satellite, did actually site Planet X. And this information that they put out, they did actually report that they saw this huge comet, but they were not able to identify it. That's the falsehood right there. But the fact that they did notice a huge comet, I guess it was impossible to cover it up. So they actually made this report, but the report was somewhere buried somewhere in the news. Marshall Masters, a former science editor for CNN, Cable News Network, has done a lot of research on Planet X, and he has mentioned that he had reported that someone had put on the internet actual footage, film footage or photographs of Planet X that was taken by the South Pole Telescope. This is a secret telescope. It's not been revealed to the public. They spent millions of dollars to construct this South Pole Telescope in 2007. And in January of 2008, there was someone who was probably either a friend or acquaintance or one of the astronomers themselves at the South Pole Observatory who put this visual information, this photographic evidence of Planet X on the YouTube. Okay, within one day, this photographic evidence of Planet X taken from the South Pole Telescope was taken down.
we are now aware of a very large object that is coming into the solar system, and there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X. There is an object right now moving into our solar system, and this information is being kept from the public. There's an indication that we have from many factors. I've watched comets coming in from the southern region of the solar system, hitting the sun, causing tremendous solar flaring, and the indication from all that we're seeing is that there is a big object moving into the solar system from the south. The point is that we know for a fact, from observing other incidents, that the astronomy community is not going to tell you about impending disaster. In fact, they're under direct orders not to tell you. We know there's tremendous equipment that has the ability to observe this object. In fact, an entire entourage of objects coming into our solar system.
There seems to be some serious observation going on in the southern hemisphere and leaks coming out all over the place. It does appear that groups of military and professional astronomers are openly active, let's say, at the Wormwood location in Australia. Well, of course, that's what I've been saying all along. The indicators were all there. And now there are reports that a mini solar system is coming into ours. There's no time frame.
This past week, four comets came into the sun and crashed into it.
My personal study deals with what I call extra solar system objects. Some are big, some are small, but there's no question that there are hundreds, possibly thousands of these objects which come into our solar system periodically and then go out in a long orbit. Some may have a 100,000-year orbit. We saw one last February 2003, which we now call Comet Neat B1, which had a 33,000-year orbit, a very large object that came very near the sun, was tremendously large and affected the sun. This is the other thing, is that comets have the ability to affect the energy output of the sun. When that happens, we then get severe weather on Earth. So there's many aspects to the effects that these large comets can have on the solar system and on planet Earth. But the bottom line is, comets are not dirty snowballs.
We know the governments are seeing it, but the question is for us, what are they seeing? Most likely this is a large object with a group of satellites, a mini constellation, but it could be a comet. It could just simply be a massive rock. It could be any number of things. What we do know is it is big, it has mass, and it has the ability to perturb the sun electrically. When this flyby happens, this is going to be a slow-motion train wreck for a long time. You know, you're going to run out of those supplies, and it's going to be catch-as-catch-can, and you're going to have to work together with other people to build survival communities.
Planet X is coming around. It happens every 3,600 years, so it's not going to strike the Earth, and we're going to get tidal fluctuations and flooding on the inland coastal areas, and that's why these guys are building all their underground stuff.
The UV readings on the Earth are just, you know, going off the charts. I don't know if you know that, but especially this summer. I mean, it is actually dangerous to be outside in 95% of the United States right now. And I mean highly dangerous. The UV readings are off the charts. It is outrageous. What they were scaling at 5 years ago is now double that right now. And they're really not telling anybody. And yeah, it goes up to 14 because they never even hit 10 5 years ago. And now the whole entire southern half of the United States and Mexico is at 10. And they don't have anything higher. And so they have to raise it higher. And because there's no way you can get an accurate measurement of the UV. And this is all part of the whole thing. You know, all the planets in the solar system are heating up right now. It's not just the Earth.
We saw the launch for the first Gulf War. The incursion was actually called Operation Planet X. That's what the code name for the incursion was.
Professor McKinney agrees with myself, he and I are in agreement that we don't have until 2012 before Earth changes basically shut down normal commerce as we know it. And it's no, there's no specific date. It's a time frame. And the time frame starts getting a lot more dangerous, shall we say, beginning in January of 2010. It will be an incremental matter with more frequent and more violent weather-related events, more frequent and more violent seismic events, volcanism, and of course rising ocean levels at some point.
Again, I maintain that what this is, it's probably a T-class or an L-class series brown dwarf star. It's basically the second heaviest body in the solar system. It is part of the solar system. It doesn't come into and go out of the solar system. It's the second heaviest body in the solar system.
You know, I asked my source about these chemtrails because, you know, I thought they're urban legend, and she thinks that they're coating the skies to protect us from these solar flares. And I don't believe they're spraying us to kill us, to poison us, and all that garbage, or say it's something to do with HAARP. You know, I think they are coating the skies.
Federal government, continuity of government, contingency planning has to be done in 1 month. December 31st, 2009. They've been at this for 30 years, since 1979. Getting ready for the horrendous, violent Earth changes that are coming. It's only been it's not quite 2 years that I started to even comprehend the effects of a coronal mass ejection. As I was scratching my head for years, I thought, why in the world is the federal government spending all this money for these very expensive underground complexes? When you start building underground, ladies and gentlemen, you basically triple or quadruple the price of your construction, maybe more. I haven't seen the numbers, but it's a massive increase in cost per square foot. That's what they've been doing for 30 years now. Always kind of lingering in the background. Earth changes, violent, abrupt climate change, dramatic increases in volcanism, dramatic increases in seismic activity, and eventually, violently, rapidly rising ocean levels. Eventually. No, it will not happen January 1st, 2010. This will be a matter of months, probably a couple of years, as things grow increasingly worse with these matters. You'll know what to look for. You'll see these things happening. When it comes to something that's important, you need to do some homework. Put these Google searches in there to find the government press releases about what they're doing, moving critical infrastructure away from these oceans and into the middle of the country. Critical infrastructure, especially the intelligence agencies, military, the libraries for the EPA, the library for the Vatican being moved as we speak. All these things are right there in my DVD, and you can find the official press releases announcing it. People love credentials. How about supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington, being interviewed in his office in Washington, D.C. at the United States Naval Observatory? May be the most important 10 minutes of video you ever see in your life. If you're going to draw a paycheck for looking at stars, that's about as serious credentials as a human being on this planet could ever hope to have. Supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory. And when he granted this interview, that's exactly what he was, talking about the 10th planet. Talking about the 10th planet as a matter of scientific fact, not scientific speculation.
giving its size, its density, and its orbit. Time is short. I don't have a specific date. We have a time frame. Basically, from now forward.
What we learned as a result of following this disinformation that is flooding the world from out of London is that Planet X is not behind the sun, as Nancy Leader says, and that Planet X is not out where people think it is with these hoax addresses on the sky programs, like Wake of Sky and what have you. What they were doing was, with disinformation, remember, you want to deflect attention, you want to distract people, because it's not about being right or wrong. It's irrelevant to disinformation. It is about exhausting people's attention. They have a limited interest span. So what you do is you piddle it away with pointless, just keep them, taking them down rabbit holes, and they're finally going to walk away from the field. And that's what they're doing. So what do? They stampede everybody towards the sun with bogus cell phone photos. Then they go to Soho, and they're finding aberrations on Soho. Soho, if Planet X is out there and Soho is seeing it, it's not going to see it in one little isolated frame out of thousands of frames taken in a day. You're going to see it and see it and see it and see it and see it. Folks wised up. We started seeing a lot of YouTubers out there going, hey, we're sick of this nonsense. So then they switched direction. They took everybody 180 degrees in the other direction. And they took them out to Orion with lost star panels and what have you. I mean, the sky databases are hopelessly corrupted by the elites. Hopelessly corrupted. So they're just, for Planet X, they're useless. All you're going to find there is black squares and things that are just going to take you down rabbit holes. There was an astronomer by the name of Harrington, and he was the government's naval observatory in Washington. And he developed an entire theory for Planet X and where he could spot it. Harrington went to New Zealand, and Harrington then, at a very specific time, very specific place, took his own telescope. He had an 8-inch telescope, as we recall, and he went to make observations of Planet X. And after he returned, he died a sudden, mysterious death of esophageal cancer. What was the real hallmark for us, the real indicator, was the obituary, which was written anonymously and went to great lengths to say he was deeply disappointed by his own failings in his inability to find his fabled Planet X. Mm-hmm. Here is a man of great achievement. Why attack his work in an obituary?